Next week, Be'ezras Hashem, we will have our annual Haggadah shiur with Divrei Torah and the Haggadah. But tonight, and I think I do this most years also, just try to go through some of the halachos of the Seder, just to remind ourselves. It's always good to refresh our memory so that we can know exactly what's going on as we go through the Seder. So let's start at the beginning of the Seder. The beginning of the Seder actually starts before the Seder, and that is the Shulchan Aruch Paskins and some Tafayin Beis Sif Aleph, Yiyeh Shulchano Aruch Miba'od Yom, that the table should be set before. The table should be set before Yantif, that Yikidei Lechol Miyad Kishetachshach, because we want the Seder to start immediately as soon as we get home. We don't want to have to wait for the Seder to begin, so we shouldn't have to wait to set the table. We should have the table set in advance. This is particularly important this year. We've already changed the clock, and therefore it's going to be late. And certainly, if we want to keep children awake and we want them to be involved, which obviously is the whole point of the Seder, next week's shiur, notwithstanding, with all these vartlach, I'm really not a big fan of saying too many vartlach at the Seder. I'm much more into, and not just me, I mean, it seems that that's the point of the Seder, is to get the children to ask, to get the children involved, not just to hear ourselves speak Torah. But anyway, that's a different issue. So we should have the table set already, miba'od yom. So when do you make the Kiddush? So the Shulchan Aruch goes on to say, avalo yomar Kiddush ad shetechshach. Even though you should have the table set early, and you want to start right away when you get home, the halacha is that you can't actually say Kiddush until it gets dark outside. Why not? So normally we have a mitzvah called Tosefes Shabbos, Tosefes Yantif, where you add on to the Shabbos, you add on Mechol Al HaKodesh. You start Shabbos a little early, end it a little bit late. So why shouldn't you make Kiddush a little bit early? You make Kiddush early every Friday night if you want to. Certainly throughout the summer, people do it all the time. They make an early Shabbos, make Kiddush early, and it's considered a mitzvah to add on from Chol Al HaKodesh. So why is it that on Pesach night it's not okay? So the Mishnah Berurah explains the reason. And he says, "Delegabe Pesach ein okein, lefisha achilas matzo huksha lepesach," because we compare the different mitzvos halayla to each other. So Karban Pesach is the primary mitzvos halayla, and we associate all the mitzvos halayla of achila to the Karban Pesach. Shneimar matzos smorim yuchlu. How do we know matzah is hukash to the Karban Pesach? Is compared to the Karban Pesach because the Torah itself says, "Al matzos marum yochluhu." You eat the Karban Pesach with matzah and marar. O Pesach einu nechal el b'layla. We know the Karban Pesach dafka has to be eaten at night. You can't eat the Karban Pesach early. So vakidish tzarich lios b'sharu il matzah. So he says one thing leads to another. If the matzah and the marar need to be eaten at the same time the Karban Pesach is eaten, the Karban Pesach can only be eaten at night, and the kiddush has to be said at the same time that you can eat matzah. Why does the kiddush have to be said at the same time you can eat matzah? So that's a din we have all year round. Kiddush b'makom suda. In order to be mekayim, kiddush b'makom suda, you need to say the kiddush at a time that the primary staple of your suuda could theoretically be eaten. And you're only allowed to eat that primary staple of the suuda, the matzah, when it's nighttime. Meli can only make the kiddush when it's nighttime. Others say that no, that it's not about the kiddush per se, it's not about kiddush b'makom suda per se, but it's really more about the dalet kosos. That just like the matzah and the marar have to be eaten when it's night, so too all the mitzvos halayla, all the unique mitzvos of the night of the Seder have to be done when it's nighttime. So what are the unique mitzvos halayla? So it's not only matzah, it's not only marar, it's not only Karban Pesach, it's also dalet kosos. And therefore all dalet kosos have to be drunk when it's night, including the first kos, and the first kos is the kos shel kiddush. So that's the two possibilities as to why it is that we have to say the kiddush when it's night. Rav Shechter used to always say that there's a nafkamina between them. Nafkamina would be if a person has a long chazanah shel kiddush, and they're not gonna, it's gonna take 10 minutes from the time they start kiddush till the time they end kiddush. So tesach kochavim lemashal tonight is 7:44, right? So if someone were to start kiddush at 7:40 and finish kiddush at 7:45. Is that okay? So if you hold it to din in the kiddush, that you need kiddush b'makom suda, well then it's not okay. You should have to wait to begin your kiddush until after tzeis ha-kochavim. But if you don't hold it to din in kiddush b'makom suda, you hold it to din in dalet kosos, so then it's fine. You can say the kiddush as early as you want. Point is that you can't drink the kos shel kiddush until it's tzeis ha-kochavim. Either way, most of us don't have such chazan shel kiddushes, so it doesn't make a difference anyway. We're going to wait till after tzeis ha-kochavim to start the Seder and to start the kiddush. who says the Kiddush? Who's the one that's responsible to say the Kiddush in the house? So at the Seder, so the Shulchan Aruch Rav writes, Aval Kiddush Shel Shayim Tovim Shabbosos Ein Sarach Lircho Kesatz Malishno Sakos Al Yach Lishmo Kiddush Me'acher. He says, when it comes to other Yom Tovim and other Shabbosos, this is the Shulchan Aruch Rav in Simtafai and Beis, Sivchav Beis, when it comes to source 3 on the sheets, when it comes to other Shabbosos and Yom Tovim, you don't have to even drink from the Kiddush. You could just listen to somebody else, be yotze the kiddush, and you're done. K'moshen esbar b'simin ayin reish beis, ma she'ein kein ba'arba kosos shel Pesach, as opposed to the dalet kosos. Sha'af b'nei habayis she'ein shomen ha'kiddush v'agadah mi'bal habayis, even the people who are just listening to the kiddush from the bal habayis, that's fine in terms of kiddush. But afal pikein chayv kol echad v'echad lishtos dalet kosos derecherus. You can hear the kiddush from the bal habayis, but you still need to drink dalet kosos. And included in drinking dalet kosos is drinking a full kos when it's time for kiddush. So what does the Shulchan Aruch Rav assume? That there's only one person making kiddush, that the bal habayis is making the kiddush, everyone else is listening to the kiddush, and as a result of that, one might have thought that not everyone has to drink. But he says, no, there's a mitzvah of dalet kosos. Everyone has to drink their own full kos of yayin. It seems, though, that there's a widespread minhag that it's not only the bal habayis that makes the kiddush, but that everybody around the Seder, everybody makes the kiddush. The Achronim explain that perhaps that minhag is based on the idea that we try to get as many people as possible to be able to say the word Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, that on the night where we emphasize Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's appropriate to also recall to the general mitzvah that we have the whole year round of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? The relationship between Zechir Yetzias Mitzrayim and Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's been explained by several Achronim that the idea is that the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim sort of enables the Zechir Yetzias Mitzrayim that we do the rest of the year. L'mashal, if a father sees that his son is going to take on a responsibility or something, he's getting older and he realizes that he's going to be given a certain responsibility, he tells him, I'm now giving you the responsibility of of taking care of the car, you have to gas it up and you have to whatever. So he sits him down and gives him a whole schmooze about how important it is to get an oil change every 3,000 miles. I should probably do that. How important it is to do all the things that you need to do to take care of the car. And he gives him a whole schmooze about responsibility and about how important responsibility is and how it means, what it means to be an adult and what it means. So then, when he sees that the kid left the car with, as kids sometimes do, with the gas light on, and the father drives it, so what does he have to say? Does he have to give the kid the whole schmooze again? He can say, remember what we spoke about. And the kid will remember the whole shmooze. You don't have to give the same shmooze every day. So that's the mitzvah, the interplay between the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim and the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Once a year, we get really, really into it, and we describe all the details and everything and the whole importance of what it means to be a Jew and how this is the birth of our nation and everything else. And then, the rest of the year, all we have to do is a quick Zechira. Oh yeah, remember that. And then we know what to remember. We know what it's about. We don't need to go through the whole Chag Gadya, pardon the pun, every single day. We don't need to go through the whole story every single day. It's very similar. We have other mitzvahs like that as well. Tisha B'Av, right? We have a mitzvah of Avelus on the Churban every day. There are halachas that govern what we're not allowed to do because we're still being mesabel on the Churban every day of the year. It's not only Tisha B'Av. But if we go through that experience and we really remember what the Churban means to us, one day a year, then that lends meaning to it the rest of the days of the year. So it's not that the mitzvah of Zechir Yetzias Mitzrayim and the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim are totally unrelated. They're very much related to each other. There are very important differences between them. They say from Reb Chaim that there are, depending on which version of the Masorah from Reb Chaim you have, either 3 differences or 5 differences, there are certain very important differences between the two mitzvahs. For instance, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim has to be done b'derech she'ela u'tshuva, in a question-answer format, not just someone remembering it or saying it. It has to be done verbally. It can't just be done, right? Well, those Chiras might also have to be done verbally. But there are several differences between Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and there's Kalam Arba Ariz Meshubach by Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. It doesn't seem that we have that by Chiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. But still, they're connected. So on the night of the Seder, an appropriate way to kick off the night of the Seder is to have every single person around the table say the words Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that way it will bring meaning throughout the rest of the year when they actually do things, L'Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. So it seems that there's a minhag, a widespread minhag in Klal Yisrael that everybody says the Kiddush. What should a person's kavanas be when he says the Kiddush at the Seder? So if you look at the Mishnah Brura in Tafayin Gimel, Sivkat and Aleph, in source number 4, he says, Kodem sheyikadesh yichavein, before you say Kiddush, you should have kavana, sherotza l'kaye mitzvahs Kiddush, that you're trying to be mekayim, the mitzvah that you have throughout the year on Shabbos and Yantif of Kiddush, but also there's an additional mitzvah, the gam mitzvah dalet kosos. You also should have in mind that you're being mekayim the mitzvah of dalet kosos. Shekos shel kiddush hu echad me'arba kosos. Because after all, the kos of kiddush is one of the dalet kosos. And v'yesh no'agin lomar hareini muchan l'kadesh l'kayim mitzvah dalet kosos. And that's why even people who throughout the rest of the year, before they make kiddush, do not say, hinni muchan l'kayim mitzvah kiddush, will say before the Kiddush on the night of the Seder, Hinni Muchon Lekadesh Ulekayim Mitzvahs Dalet Kosos. Why would they say that? Because you make Kiddush every Shabbos and Yantiv. So you might not have in mind that there's an additional element to this Kiddush that you don't have by every other Kiddush, namely the Mitzvah of Dalet Kosos. So you want to verbalize that in advance to make it clear in your mind what you're doing. However, he warns, you have to be careful whenever you add in these little things, even Zechel Mikdash Kehila, all these little things that are added in, we have to be very careful that it shouldn't be a hefsik at a time where we're not supposed to be mafsik. And therefore, warns the Mishnah Brura, don't say this after the Kiddush, because then you already made the bracha bar priagafen. You can't make a bracha bar priagafen and start schmoozing and then drink. No, it has to dafka be before the Kiddush. And before the Haggadah, you should have in mind to say, or say, let's say, see the mitzvah, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, that you're having in mind to do the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Good, so that should be the Kavana. And then, the Mishnah Berurah writes, the Shulchan Aruch says, that you're Mevarech Shechiyanu. You also say Shechiyanu at the Kiddush. When? Kodem Ashtia. Before you drink from the Kiddush, you say Shechiyanu. Vim lo birech. Kodem Ashtia, Mevarech Acharkach. Emosai Sheyizkar. However, the Shechiyanu is interesting. Although we say the Shechiyanu together with the Kiddush, because that's the most appropriate time to say the Shechiyanu, Shechiyanu isn't really Kiddush related. The Shechiyanu is related to the day. It's about Pesach. It's not about Kiddush. And therefore, if a person forgot to say Shechiyanu at Kiddush, and he remembers before Kriyas HaTorah, the next morning, at Davening, so he could say the Shechiyanu then. Shechiyanu is on the Yom. He says, Emosai Sheyizkar B'Yom Aleph, whenever you remember on the first day of Pesach, if you forgot to say the Shechiyanu, Vafil B'Emtzah Shuk, you'd be walking in the middle of the street. I didn't say Shechiyanu or Kiddush at the Seder last night. You say it then. Ta'azman aregel ka'i, because the Shechiyanu is not going on the Kiddush, it's going on the Yantif. V'niskar b'lel beiz la'achar shekiddush hayom, yiftar asma b'shechiyanu sheyivarech halakos la'achar hakiddush. And if you only remember on the second day, then you should have in mind that it should be included with the Shechiyanu that you say on the coast after Kiddush. And if you didn't remember to say it then, even if you said it on the first night, you're chayiv to be mevarich again at any time that you do remember throughout the entire yantiv. Good. So that is kaddish. That's the mitzvah of kiddish. Now the issue that we always raise when it comes to kaddish is Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach raised it in one of the haggadahs that I think the Arzei Alvaron haggadah or maybe the Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach haggadah where he says, you know, normally we just discuss this concept of kiddish makom suda. Kiddush Makom Suda doesn't only mean that you have to say Kiddush at a time where you could have the Suda, nor does it necessarily only mean that you have to have Kiddush in the same place that you have the Suda. You also have to say Kiddush within some close time frame to when you're actually going to eat the Suda. So the big kasha that we have on the night of the Seder is we say Kiddush, and then we do a whole bunch of other things. We go through the whole Magid, we go through a whole story, and it could be hours and hours of Magid. There are some people, I remember when I was a kid, everyone in shul would walk around, would run around showing off to each other. What time did your Seder finish? What time did your... Oh, mine finished at 2 in the morning. Oh, yeah, well, mine didn't finish yet. Mine, you know, everyone would be... These Sederim go forever and ever. That's not so right, by the way. It's not really the way that it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be done by Chatzos, really, at the very... at the very least, the afikoman should be eaten by chatzos, even if not everything. Everything is done by chatzos. Really, everything ideally should be done by chatzos. Someone just commented to us. We had company for a seder a couple of years ago. Who came from a much more yeshivish family, and they said like they had never seen a seder that actually finished by chatzos, and that the kids were involved, and it wasn't just all these people darshaning, you know, with no one listening, just darshaning, and all the kids falling asleep on the side. Never seen a seder like that, where the kids were actually asking questions. There was actually an element of igad to levincha, of teaching the children something. Very unique experience, apparently. But okay, but that's what a seder is supposed to be. So, but still, even if you run a pretty quick seder, like I happen to run, it's still going to go a couple of hours. It's still going to take some time. So what happens to the kiddush makom suda? So as Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach explains, that all of the mitzvos halayla are considered to be part of the su'uda. The su'uda on the night of the Seder is within this framework of Dalet Kosos and all the mitzvos that were misakin on the Dalet Kosos. And therefore the Maggid is also part of the su'uda. Everything is part of the su'uda. So it's not considered a break, it's not considered a hefsik. That's part of Litzorach HaSu'uda. It's part of what you do for the sake of the su'uda. Because it's not just Stam HaSu'uda. The mitzvah of Achilles Matzah is through, you do Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim through the props of Achilles Matzah. So you need to have the whole Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's all considered part and parcel of the su'uda. Next, obviously the section on Kiddush Motzai Shabbat is not Nogea this year, so we're going to skip that. Next we move on to Orchatz. Right, so the Shulchan Aruch writes in Simchat Kuf Nun Ches in Arachayim, not in Hilchos Pesach. Shulchan Aruch says in general throughout the year, im ochel davar shetivula be'echad mishuv mashkin shesimanim yad shach adam. If a person eats something that was dipped in one of these seven drinks of yayin, dvash, shemen, chalav, tal, dam, and mayim, right, the yad shach adam, velonis nagiv, and it hasn't been dried off. Even if you're not actually touching the wet part of the vegetable that has been dipped, sarach nitila b'la bracha. You need to do nitila sedayim, says Shulchan Aruch. Don't make a bracha, but you do nitila sedayim. He says, v'afilu ein metavel rak rosh hayarek o apri. Even if just part of the vegetable or the fruit was dipped in water, afilu hachi yitol b'la bracha. You do nitila sedayim without a bracha. So most people ask on the kash on karpa, on orchatz, is why are we all of a sudden washing our hands? Maybe the better question should be, why is it that the rest of the year, when you wash an apple in the sink and you don't dry it totally, why do we not do Netilas Yadayim in that instance? It seems like a very clear halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. So the Mishnah Berurah already writes that he says, Hinei b'magen Avram hevi b'shem halachem chamudos ta'olam no'agin shalolitol. The minhag had become already not to do Netilas Yadayim. Interestingly, the Mishnah Berurah says, Minhag HaOlam isn't always right. I think this Minhag HaOlam is wrong. I think people should do Netilas Yadayim when they wash a fruit or a vegetable, at least if it's more than a kazayis. He says at the end, Mikol Makom bepachos mikazayis, if what you're going to eat is less than a kazayis, so then yerli pashut she'en lahachmir b'zek klal, then there's no reason to be machmir, because da'afilu bepas harbe achronim mekilin. Da'afilu bepas, rather, kama, harbe achronim mekilin. Because even on bread that's less than a kazayis, many achronim say you don't need to wash. So if you can have a vegetable, which is a chumrah to begin with, to wash on the vegetable that's been dipped in water, and it's less than a kazayis, then you wouldn't have to wash. So now we understand the kasha. Meaning, again, we said before, what's the big kasha everyone asks? Why are we washing on the Seder night? The bigger kasha would be, why don't we wash the rest of the year? It says the Mishnah Berurah, no. The rest of the year, when it's less than a kazayis, you shouldn't wash. And that he's confident that a person doesn't wash when it's less than a kazayis. Assuming the karpas that we eat is not like the Shittas Rambam, that we eat less than a kazayis of karpas, so then we have the major kasha. Why is it that we do wash on the karpas on the night of the Seder? Why is it that we have this concept of orchatz? So most of the poskim, Nor Chashulchan points this out in source number 10, he says, V'achar sheyikadesh notul yadav l'tzorach tibul harishon, v'lo yivarech al netilas yadayim, v'af mi she'enu nizhar b'kol hashana b'tibulu b'mashka litul yadav, v'pesach yitul yadav. Even if you're not careful about this the rest of the year, on Pesach we're careful. Sharei kam shinu yimanu osim b'lel zeh, because there are a lot of things that we do unusual on the night of the Seder. V'inyan hatibul hu kadei sheyishul hatinokos. And why do we do it? So the kids can ask. Lama zeh tovim kodem ha'achila, mashayin derech lasos kein. Why are we doing this? Why are we dipping? We don't normally do that the rest of the year. Tekvar nisbar da'atorek pidabal al zeh, al she'elas habanim. The Torah is makbid that dafka this night we have to get the kids asking. We cannot bore them to death. We need them to ask, nor is it appropriate necessarily to have them come to the table with all their gematrios and whatever else, and all the little vartlach of, that they normally come with. No, get them asking. The point is they should ask. It's not vigad talavicha. It's let them ask questions. Yeah, and we should encourage them to do so, bribe them to do so. V'yikach me'akarpas, and then he goes on to say how you do the karpas. But what's the answer that most of the poskim say? Why is it that we wash for the karpas on the night of the Seder? Because we want the kids to ask questions. So we do a lot of things differently. Now notice, we're not doing something that makes absolutely zero sense. Meaning we're not going to just make something up out of left field that has no meaning to it, where a kid's going to ask, and then we're going to say, we just wanted you to ask. No, the point is, there's going to be some sort of answer. It's a chinuch opportunity. Then you get to teach the kid, well, you know, really, all year round there's such a din. For whatever reason, we're not knowing that din anymore. You could teach about the din of davar shetibula b'mashke. So the point is that there is an answer. There is a piece of an answer. So you don't just stomp do stupidities to get the children to ask. You do something that has some meaning, something, some shemitz of something, of some reason that you should be able to give to the kids. The Netziv writes that he thinks the idea of Orchatz accidentally some of the Maror Makom got cut off in this copy of it, but the Netziv in the Hakdama to his Haggadah Imrei Shefer, in the Hakdama to his Haggadah, writes that he thinks the idea of Orchatz is as follows. He says, why do we wear a kittel at the Seder? So most people assume we wear a kittel as a zecher to Yom HaMisa, let's say. Right, so you want to, or as because we're, people say all sorts of different things, right? So the sister says, no, it has nothing to do with any of that. It's not about a zecher Yom HaMisa or anything. Why would you remember the Yom HaMisa to Afkan the Seder? So some say, yeah, you need to remember the Yom HaMisa because you're drinking four cups of wine, so things can get out of hand, so you'd Afkan want to remember the Yom HaMisa. Okay, but then the sister says there's a much simpler reason, that when they would eat kachin, when you would eat the Karban Pesach, they would put on a chashuv beged. They would get dressed up in nice beged in order to eat a Karban Pesach. So that's why we wear a kittel. And he says the whole idea of the whole night is reenacting what they did when they were eating the Karban Pesach. So you don't think they washed their hands when they were eating the Karban Pesach, when they were eating Kachim? Certainly they washed their hands on Davar Shetibula B'mashke. Our minhag nowadays maybe that we don't do it anymore. But certainly back in times they had a Beis HaMikdash. They were certainly makbid on that. We're just trying to do everything that they did. We're trying to reenact what it was like to have a Seder with the Karban Pesach. So he says, that's the idea of the washing the hands in advance. Also, Rav Reuven Margolios says a different part. Rav Reuven Margolios, in his Haggadah, source number 12, he says, it could be that v'yitachin shegam netilazu himitam derech cherus usrara. He says, forget about commemorating anything. On the night of the Seder, we experience a sense of freedom. We experience a sense of acting like a king. So kings wash their hands a lot. They wash their hands even before they eat a little bit. They're extremely clean. And they're very careful not to be dirty at all. And they always wash their hands before anything. Lo ka adam ashala amol yulad ha'ochalachmo bezeya. Not like people who work hard and have dirt under their fingernails and eat their bread with the sweat of their brow, whatever. Nah, king takes it easy. He washes. So that's the way we act. We wash, not because of the davar shetibula b'mashke per se, but because we want to show that we're eating like a king, and a king washes before he eats. That's the idea of Rav Reuven Margolios. The Taz in Siman Tov Ayin Gimel Sivkot and Vav just says, he flips the question around. He says, I don't see why we shouldn't wash the rest of the year. He says, if anything, where do we take on chumras? He says, you know, what are we saying here? That we take on this chumra of washing on the night of the Seder, right? That's when we're going to take on this chumra of washing for davar shetibula b'mashke. He says, no, there's another time of year that the minig is that we take on chumras. What's the time of the year that the minig is we take on chumras? Aser simei tshuva, we take on chumras. If this was a chumra that we wanted to take on just b'toras chumra, this isn't the time to take it on b'toras chumra. Asaras mitzvah is the time to take it on the Torah's chumrah. Why are we doing it dafka on the night of the Seder? So he says, Elamai, there's no answer. It's wrong. We should always wash for davar shetibul b'mashke. A big chiddush. I don't think everyone assumes that way. I think most people don't assume that way. That's the chiddush that the Taz says. Also, it's interesting. I always grew up in my house. My father was the only one that washed by Orchatz. And when I got married, at my wife's, my in-laws' sedarim, everybody washed. So I thought that they did something unusual, and what I did in my house was normal, because everything in my house is normal, and everything that is not, you know, that came from my wife's house has to be abnormal, because that's the way we're trained to think, that what we do is normal. It turns out that it's unclear why someone of my background would have the minhag, that only one person in the house washes. So I asked my father, he said, well, tell you the truth. I remember, he said, my father, you know, his father died when he was 7 years old. Doesn't really remember. So where did he have a seder? So he had a couple of sedarim, I guess, at some point along the way with his brother-in-law, who happens to be a grandson of Rabbi Breuer. Yekas only have the balabais washed. Okay, so only the balabais washed. So that's the way it worked. But I think the minig is in most places. No, what do people do here? Everybody washes. I think the minig in most places, if you're not a Yaki, I think the minig in most places is that that everybody washes. Okay. It certainly makes sense. If the whole idea is that we're being makbar and davar shetibul b'mashke, it certainly makes sense. Also, even if the idea is a sign of cheirus, everyone should experience the cheirus. Unless, what would be the svarat to have only one person wash? Maybe it's to show that it's not a din. If it was a din, everyone's bound by halacha. But just to show that we're doing something that's a little bit different as a zecher to what was a din or what used to be observed as the halacha, but is no longer observed. So you want to show that this isn't a minhag that you're taking as like a new neder to observe such a minhag. Maybe that's the svar. I don't know. I didn't look in the Yekash Svarim to find out what exactly the source of the minhag is. But that's my conjecture. Now, so we do karpas. What's the purpose of the karpas? So the Mishnah Berurah writes that the purpose of the karpas is inyan tibul hayarek b'mashke. It's source number 14 on the third line. Hu mitakonas chachamim kdei lahatmiya asatinokos. There we have that again. Get the kids wondering. Sheyiru shinoi sheochlan hayirakos b'tibul she'in derech lachlam kodem asu'udu b'kol yimos hashana. It's unusual to dip vegetables before the meal. V'yishal al shinoi zeh shamiris hagadah mitzvah salamra derech tshuva al she'ela sheshaluhu. That the Haggadah has to be done in the context of questions, so we want to get questions. So that's the purpose of Karpas. Now, obviously, it's great to have questions. If the kids are going to ask questions, we need answers. So what is the answer to the question? Good, so the kid asks it, and you say, Shkoyach. But now what? So says the Pri Chadash, that he says, V'amechon l'asos shinuim sheyishalu, u'mitoch kach yavo lishol b'shar dvarim. He says we don't have an answer to this one. He says, you know what, we don't really have an answer to this one, but at least we'll get them asking. And once they're in the mood of asking, and you give them approval for their asking the questions, so they'll continue to ask questions. Doesn't sound like the most satisfying answer. It happens to be, as someone who teaches in a high school, I could tell you that very often when, at least teenagers, when they ask questions, they're more interested in you telling them that it was a good question than in knowing the answer. Very often, by the time you're telling the answer, the brain is totally shut off already. So it doesn't really care about the answer, then we're just more interested in saying, look, I had a good question, and you acknowledge that I had a good question. So get them in the mood of asking questions. So you tell them it was an excellent question, keep on asking, and they'll continue to go. But again, not the most satisfying answer. And the truth is, Tosfos in Maseches Pesachim says that there's a reason for the karpas, that we need the karpas. Not Tosfos himself, Tosfos quotes from Rav Yosef Tovelim at the end of source number 16, about three lines before the end. He says, "Rabbeinu Yosef Tovelim kasav b'sidro lama shar yirakos batin tchila. Why do we make a bracha on another vegetable early? Lift our chazeres mi bracha ru'uyala, because we want to exempt the marar from having to say a bracha rishona. We don't want to have to say a bracha rishona on the marar. Why not?" So the assumption is because of Enos and Mitzvahs Chavilos Chavilos. We don't want to pile up a whole bunch of brachos on the mitzvah of Marar, on any mitzvah. It says Tosos, but that's not true. Velesa, Mishum Hekera Bayin. He says, first of all, that's not the reason for Karpas. Karpas is just there to get people to ask. V'lo Shaykh Kan Chavilos, it'll betray Mili. Furthermore, that's not Enos and Mitzvos Chavilos Chavilos. To make a Birchus HaNanin and a Birchus HaMitzvah on the same item, that's not Chavilos Chavilos. Meaning you make a Alachilos Matzah and Hamotzi, it's not considered Chavilos Chavilos. It's not Chavilos Chavilos when you do two different mitzvos on the same item. Over here, Karpas isn't a mitzvah, meaning the, I'm sorry, the Bracha Rishon is not a mitzvah, it's just the Birchus HaNanin that you have to make before you get any Anah from this world. Va'od, Rav Chista Mevarak Shtei and Achazaris. Plus, the Gemara says Rav Chista would make both brachas on the Maror. He would make the bracha on the Maror also. Va'od, demashma de lo pato le pas. Furthermore, he says, in Hilchos brachas, if you have a little bit of salad in the middle of your meal, do you make a bracha or do you not make a bracha? Hilchos brachas. You have a salad in your meal. We have it all the time, right? We wash, we have a salad. No one makes a bracha on the salad. Halach is you don't make a bracha on the salad. What's Maror? So we often like to think of Maror as being the horseradish. What's the real Maror? What's the Maror that the Mishnah recommends to use? It's lettuce. The Mishnah gives a list of five vegetables that are kosher to use as Maror. The Gemara says that the list is given in order of preference, what's the best to the worst. And the best, the top vegetable on the list, is lettuce. So Maror is really lettuce. So it's a salad. So you're gonna make a bracha? He says there's no din like that. You're not supposed to make a bracha rishona if it comes during the meal anyway. So Tosos doesn't like this. Rav Yossi Tovelim. So the Prima Gadim suggests another possible answer. Kid asks, why are we doing karpas? So he says that shetzrich lomar hagadol l'saper b'yitzias Mitzrayim l'kach matbilim kodem achila shalolishos kol kach b'li achila. He says we're doing karpas because it's gonna be a long night. And you're going to be very hungry, so have a little bit of celery. Just get something in your system, because you're going to go a long time without eating any food. And that's the answer. That's a good enough answer to give the children for Karpas. That they can understand, and it will keep them asking. Is there a preference of what vegetable to use for Karpas? I was just asked this week to do a question answer session in one of the local high schools on Hilchos Pesach. So I said, what type of questions? Just curious. Said, like, you know, what kind of vegetable to use for karpas? As if the kids in the high school are going to make that decision in their house anyway. I don't know why that would be one of the questions. But anyway, is there a preference? What type of vegetables to use for karpas? So when I was growing up in my house, we always had potatoes for karpas. Some people do celery, and some people do parsley. And I think my favorite is Rabbi Teitz, Zichron Levracha, from Elizabeth, used to do bananas. Because he thought it was a phenomenal chinuch opportunity to teach children that even though a banana grows from a tree, it's a bracha, it's bar pri adama. So it was a great way to teach them that the bracha is bar pri adama, that night of the Seder they'd use bananas. I don't know how good it is in salt water, but that was his minhag. But is there any sort of preference? So the karpas is actually the name of a vegetable. So ideally, if we knew exactly which vegetable it was, which I think they say it's parsley, that would be ideal. Why is it ideal to use the vegetable called karpas? What difference does it make? The whole function is just to make a bar pri adama on something, right? Isn't that the whole idea? So why is it ideal to use karpas? So there are simanim associated with it, like all these vartlach the kids come home with, it's actually based in something. The Mishnah Berurah writes that it's supposed to be a simon of Samach Perach, right? That Mishnah Berurah in Simon Tafai and Gimel, Sifkat and Yates, writes this. He says, Karpas hu min yerek shakornos a karpas. Karpas is a vegetable, it's called karpas. Ubachra lecharchila b'min ze shuhunu trikun Samach Perach. They chose to use that min because it's a nutrikun of Samach Perach. Kolomar, Samach Ribo of du avodas Perach. To say 600,000 people were working, avodas perach, were doing backbreaking work in Mitzrayim. So he says that's the idea of it. That's why karpas would be the ideal vegetable to use. Others say, no, parsley may not even be bar pri adama, because who eats parsley? You don't eat parsley just plain. And that's why a lot of people said celery. Celery you could eat plain. Celery, a lot of people eat plain. So celery maybe is a little bit better. But it could really be anything. My only taina on using potatoes, which again is my family minhag, but the only thing the only reason I have a problem with it is that there is a machlokas rishonim whether you're supposed to eat a kazayis of karpas or you're dafka supposed to eat less than a kazayis of karpas. The Rambam writes that you should eat a kazayis of karpas. He says, va'ochle kazayis hu v'kol ha'masubin, tzilchus chametz matzah perachas halacha beis, that the leader of the Seder and everyone who's there, kol echad v'echad ein ochel pachos mikazayis. You need to eat at least a kazayis of karpas, says the Rambam. We don't paskin that way. We paskin that you take pachos mikazayis, shulchan aruch tofai and gimel sivvav, you take pachos mikazayis. Why dafka pachos mikazayis? So Mr. Brewer explains why dafka pachos mikazayis. L'fi shek mikazayis yish safek b'bracha achrona im yavarich osa olo. If you have a kazayis right before the meal, there's a safek, you might have to make a bracha achrona right then and there. And it's not going to be included in the bracha achrona for later on. It's supposed to be done right now. So we don't want to get into a situation of Safek Brachos, so we're dafka supposed to eat Pachos Mikazayis. We don't paskin like the Rambam. Now, those who are Makar Fashitas Rambam, you know, those who in general, like the briskers, do paskin like the Rambam, they'll eat a Kazayis. So that was my problem with potatoes. My problem with potatoes is that a cooked potato in salt water tastes very good. And you're usually starving on the night of the Seder. You haven't eaten all day. There's nothing to eat in Pesach. So you're starving on the night of the Seder. You haven't eaten anything. It's the first thing you're eating. And it tastes very good. And I've had the experience around the Seder where everyone's asked for more karpas. So the Yetzer Hara, if you're eating parsley, to have a kazayis is much, much smaller than the Yetzer Hara to have a kazayis of potatoes. Obviously not a reason not to use potatoes, but it's a reason to perhaps be careful not to eat a kazayis, even though we use potatoes.
Isn't there an idea for it to be green? Karpas to be a green vegetable?
I don't know. I didn't see a source for that. I don't know. What based on what? Do you know why?
That's how I know. Something I was...
Yeah, that it should be green?
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe. Let's see, what do I have here in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch? He says celery. Radish, he says that a lot of great tzaddikim used radishes for karpas. Radishes aren't green, right? I don't know. Now that you mention it, like rings a bell, but I don't know where it's from. I don't have any makor for it. Okay, shkayach. Another requirement for karpas, or suggestion at least, l'chadchila for karpas, Mishnah Berurah says, is better not to use one of the five vegetables that you can use for marah. Right? Don't use something that... you know, don't use lettuce for karpas, because the whole point is that you're going to make a bracha alechilas mara later on, after you're already mali kresel mimenu, after you're already filled up on mara, not filled up, but after you already ate mara earlier in the night. It seems strange to make a bracha of alechilas mara afterwards, so ideally we avoid any of the chameshes mine mara to use for karpas. Now, in terms of some, you know, the onions and garlic and things like that, so Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he talks about he's not convinced that the bracha is hadama, so it may defeat the whole purpose, because it's not normal to eat those things raw. So anything that's not normal to eat raw, in fact, in the Sivas, in the introduction to his Agada, has a big shaila about horseradish. He says he's not convinced that what the bracha is really is on horseradish. He has a he said if it's ground up, especially if it's ground up and it loses the tzura of what it was, doesn't look like a vegetable anymore. He thinks it might be a shahakal. So he says that if you're going to have horseradish, you should have it in chunks. It's much more painful.
The Babishas
did it. The Babishas did it. Okay. Yeah, so you should... So I would recommend lettuce. But if you're going to have horseradish, the Nesiva says you should have it in chunks. Okay, it's a chumra the Nesivas, but it's an interesting little discussion he has on that topic. Yachetz, we'll go a little bit further. We break a matzah. Why do we break a matzah at Yachetz? So the Mishnah Berurah explains that kedei l'kayim matzah kara kos of lechem oni, that darko shalani is b'prisa, and oni eats a broken piece of bread. So we are mekayim that mitzvah of Yachetz. We're mekayim that mitzvah of lechem oni by breaking the matzah to show that the mitzvah of matzah that we're going to be doing is going to be the true lechem oni. It's going to be a broken piece. There is a machlokas rishonim. Is it you have lechem mishnah and one of your lechem mishnah is broken, or is it you have lechem mishnah of two shlemos, then you have plus one broken piece to be mekayim the extra lechem oni? Now, what's the tzad to say to have one plus the broken piece? Tzad is that if you really want to say it's lechem oni, you probably shouldn't have more than you have the rest of the year. And if you really want it to be lechem oni, you should probably be a little bit less than you have the rest of the year. The whole point is that even though lachem mishum normally you need complete loaves, but the whole point is you're trying to express a sense of lechem oni. Rav Shechter has a very nice piece in Eretz HaTzvi where he discusses this issue and what the tzaddikim are, what they're really arguing about in terms of the idea of lechem oni. Now, it seems that the minhag of the majority of Klal Yisrael is that we do two plus the middle one that we break. Not everyone does like that, though. I think Rav Soloveitchik had and Rav Moshe Feinstein had the minhag the other way. I think they had two included. The broken piece. So then it's logical in a certain sense. Once we break the matzah, there are many minhagim quoted in the Achronim about what we do with the matzah, that we should put it away as a sense of shmirah, like they would do in the Korban Pesach. And that's why some of the Achronim didn't like the idea of stealing the avikoman, because a korban needs shmirah, you need to watch over a korban. And if someone takes the avikoman and hides it, and you don't see it, and the kids have it, and who knows where it is, and it gets lost half the time. So that's one of my children was playing in the dining room last week, and they looked behind the break front, and they said, "Hey, look, I see matzah there. You know, it was probably from the Afikoman last year. Oh, that's where it went, you know." So you have to be careful. So that's what some of the Achronim don't like, the idea of stealing the Afikoman, for that reason. But we try to do things to recall Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's what the Kaf HaChaim quotes. There's a minute, Mishabur quotes a minute to put it on the shoulder and to walk around with it as if we're leaving Mitzrayim with the bread baking on the shoulders. Kaf HaChaim goes through a whole act that's done with father and son around the matzah on the shoulder, that you come and the kid is walking around with it and the father says, "Who are you?" And he says, "I'm a Jew." And he says, "Where are you going?" He says, "I'm going to Eretz Yisrael." "Where are you coming from?" "Coming from Mitzrayim." "What's that on your shoulder?" "It's the matzah, didn't have time to rise." And you go through this whole play, this whole scene that's all done to, again, reenact the whole Yetzias Mitzrayim, which, again, to remind ourselves that's what the whole purpose of the Seder night is. Okay, we didn't get up to Magid, but we got through at least the first hour of the Seder, so the first 45 minutes of the Seder. All right, so Be'ez Hashem, there will be more time at a later date to discuss the rest of the Seder. Next week.